Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Paseo Pathway Podcast. This year, every week, we're doing a conversation. This podcast is specifically for those of you who attend and are members of Paseo Del Rey. Other people may find it because it lives on Apple Podcasts and YouTube, but really, we want these to be conversations between us and you and our family, our church family as a whole. This year, we are following along with our daily readings. We're reading through the Bible as a church this year. If you haven't been part of that, but you would like to join us, you can download a copy of the reading plan. It's on our website. It'll also be linked in the show notes here on YouTube and on your podcast app. You can download that and start with us with the week that we're getting ready to start. Today, I'm joined by John Dickinson. He is an elder here at Paseo and gracious enough to make time to join us. We're going to be talking about John 15. I love the Gospel of John. We've been in it now for a couple of weeks. We're going to be in it next week. Just a beautiful, beautiful book of the Bible. But before we dive into John 15, we're going to talk about a tip that will help you get more out of your readings or be more consistent with your readings. And this week we want to talk about dealing with distractions. John and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and you had some thoughts on what goes through your mind when you're wrestling with distraction. So do you want to share those with us?
Yeah. growing up in business before I retired as a quality manager, and one of the things that that we're kind of trained to do is to look for root cause of things. So when I think about distractions in my reading or in just my time that I'm spending with God, I'm thinking that distractions is that there's something that's going on that is causing this distraction. Or, you know, there's always all sorts of things that are going on around us, but why am I paying attention to any of those things that are happening? Or why is my mind wandering like that? And to cut it kind of short, because we don't have a lot of time, we could spend all day talking about that. I could spend all day talking about this. But I think that when we get down to it, that there's a sense of hurry that is going on in our life. Because I think that when I give myself enough margin in my time that I'm spending with the Lord, again, whether it is I'm reading a particular part of Scripture or I'm just in prayer, when I have just this limited time, then my mind starts to bounce off onto things that, you know, I need to get back to, need to make sure that I'm doing this. And the next thing I know, it's like, where am I in this? Now that I'm retired, it's easier for me to do. It's not nearly as easy for folks that have a busier life than I do. Now, I stay busy, but I am able to put margin in my life. And I think that's what's really helped me to not just push distractions down, but it even allows me time to interact with that distraction with the Lord, because I can then ask and say, hey, perhaps this distraction, whatever that might be that's come into my brain, Lord, perhaps you're having something for me in this. Perhaps you, I don't know, put that distraction there.
Right.
But I then pause and just ask, is there something about that, Lord, that you would have me with that? But I can only do that when I've allowed myself margin to be able to do that. So let's just say, just simply, it might be that some of you can only spend 5 minutes in the morning or in the evening, whatever it is, in your busy day that you have to read some portion of Scripture and to pray on that. Let's say it's only five. I would say, take and make that 3 minutes, allowing five that has 2 minutes of margin. Or if you have 10 minutes, just say, I've got 15 minutes, but I'm going to take 10 minutes, allow 10 minutes of that, so that if there's distraction that's in there, I don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to jot something down and I'll come back to that later because I'm in a rush. But instead, I see that I'm just sitting with the Lord as I'm reading or as I'm just praying and talking with Him, and the distraction can be hours. Our distraction, not me distracted from the Lord, but instead I can then just allow that distraction to be and go away and continue on in my conversation with the Lord mm-hmm. or in the reading that I have.
Yeah, lots of good stuff in there, and you're right, we could actually explore a bunch of it, but I think a few things that I heard as you were sharing there is, one, have the right mindset when you're going into your reading that you're really drawing near to God, you're wanting to spend time with a real living person, the God of the universe.
Not checking a box.
You're not just reading the Bible. And that's a good reminder. I often will pray, you know, there's a promise in James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So often I pray that as I start my daily reading, Lord, I'm about to read, but really I'm drawing near to you. Would you fulfill this promise to draw near to me? Quiet my heart. You know, having said that, there's a few things that are almost like counterintuitive. So for instance, I know you're retired now, and you mentioned that, you know, perhaps it's harder for people who aren't retired, but for some people it might be just the opposite. And here's what I mean. I have found that some of the times where I've struggled the most to be consistent with my reading is when I'm on vacation. I've got full control of my day, and it's ironic, I don't know why, but sometimes just having that structure in your life, if you can learn how to prioritize and make a space for your time with God, it can really help you. But I want to share just a few other practical things that even if we do have the right mindset, they can distract us, and these are things that I've seen in my own life. So the first is your phone. You know, we live in an age, it's called the attention economy, and there are very wealthy companies that spend all their time trying to figure out how to get your attention. And they're really good at it. So I have found that it's just it's a simple, helpful practice for me just to leave my phone in a different room when I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. And you know, I've found by experience that when I don't do that, I sometimes get distracted more often than I would like to admit. So one is just keep your phone out of reach. A second is that things will pop into my mind. I tend to do my time with the Lord in the morning, and things will pop into my mind. I need to send that email. I need to run that errand. I need to have that conversation. And so have a piece of paper and pen near you, where you can just jot that down and then set it aside. And that has helped me not be distracted by whatever that is. The third thing that I would suggest is that sometimes we come into our time with the Lord carrying emotions, carrying anxiety. There's something going on in our life that is weighing us down. And I would just encourage you that if that's the case, if you find yourself, just set aside your Bible, spend some time in prayer, just acknowledging, Lord, right now I'm very anxious or I'm very stressed. This is going on. I just want to share it with you. I'm having trouble even reading these letters on the page because this is just all I can think about. And give that to God, pray through it. It may be that you never get to your Bible that day. That may be the thing that the Lord wants to spend time with you working through in that morning session.
You know, there's something else. So this morning, as I was sitting out on my patio, and I was just spending being in the presence of the Lord. And I was thinking about some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. And all of a sudden, I realized we're heading to Vancouver tomorrow. And I realized, oh, shoot, I'm going to need to check in. And I got up. And I just left. I left Jesus sitting at the table on the patio there. And I just felt like he just said, that's okay. Go ahead. Go on. We'll catch up again. And sure enough, a little bit later, I was like, okay, let's continue on our conversation. Right. My point here is that don't limit that devotion time, that sort of time, to being with the Lord. The Lord should be, we should practice the presence of Jesus throughout the day, all along. And again, back to the margins, if I then have some margins when I'm sitting at a dentist's office waiting to be called in, I'm not picking up the evil rectangle, but instead I am just saying, hey Lord, let's check back in again. I just was You know, thanks for letting me go do that. You know, because it's relationship, as though if it were you and you said, no, John, go ahead and go and, right. and do that. So I think practicing the presence of Jesus throughout the day might help us to have that margin and not be guilt-ridden by distractions that have happened during our quiet time. Yeah. But let's let our quiet time be all day long as we are just, you know, as Paul says, pray continually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how's that happen? Yeah. Well, because I am drawing close to the Lord all day long. I go off on other things, but I'm coming back again and spending time again in my margins.
Yeah.
Just some thoughts.
Really good stuff. Hopefully that encourages you and gives you some ideas. All of us deal with distractions to one degree or another. Let's dive into John 15, and I'm going to ask, if you wouldn't mind, have you read John 15, verses 1 through 8. We're only going to look at the first few verses of the chapter, but before John reads this passage, a little bit about the background here in John 15. And so last week we talked about Jesus's conversation with the disciples where he gave them the new commandment at the end of John 13. And in most chapters of the Bible, you move from two chapters down the road and maybe a lot of time and space has passed, maybe months in the life and ministry of Jesus. Not so John 13 through 18, really John 13 through 21, is all happening within the space of a week. Mm-hmm. And John 13 through through 20 really happens in the space of 24 hours, or in the case of chapter 20, 48 hours. But Jesus is still having the same conversation with the same group of people. Mm-hmm. That's the point here in John 15. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus and his 11 faithful disciples that are discussing things. One thing I would say is that as you read through the Last Supper and you move through it from John 13 through John 18, it is one continuous conversation that's happening, but the venue is changing. So in John chapter 13, they were in the upper room having the Last Supper. At the end of chapter 14, Jesus says, let's go from here. And many scholars believe that many scholars believe that Jesus and his disciples, that's right, they're good at it, that they went from the upper room to the rooftop. And we'll see why that might be important. So John 15, it's entirely possible that they're now on the roof. And in many of these Mediterranean homes, there would be vines growing on the roof, that they would grow grapes on the roof of the house. And so as Jesus is having this conversation about vines and bearing fruit, just imagine that they're actually looking at vines right where they're at. And then we'll see a little bit later that it shifts again, and now they move out of the city to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where we find them in chapter 17. So just something to bear in mind. But picture that, Jesus and his 11 disciples on the rooftop. And let's read chapter 15, verses 1 through 8.
Okay, and this NIV that we have here too. So chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
We always want to think about context, and especially, I would say, the why question. Why is Jesus having this conversation with this group of men at this moment? And I think one reason that we can settle on is that he is actively preparing them for a major change that is about to happen.
Yeah.
In fact, he's already talked about that in both chapters 13 and 14. I am leaving.
Yeah.
I'm no longer physically going to be here to guide you. Mm-hmm. And so he tells this parable of a vine dresser, and branches, and fruit. Mm-hmm. And so what are some things that come to your mind? Why is Jesus wanting to emphasize this with his disciples?
Well, you know, the one thing that he says that, in the Greek, 11 times in this chapter, he is saying remain, or a version of remain.
Right.
Most of the time it's translated as remain. Mm-hmm. But, and so he's remain in me, remain in me, abide in me, always be in me. And yet he's like, wait, you're leaving.
Right.
So how can this be? So he's giving him an indication, lo, it's still possible.
Yes.
You can still remain in me, even though my physical presence is gone from you at that point. Later on, he'll give us a little more indication of, well, how exactly is that? You know, what is the connection, you know, that we have, as he then introduces the Holy Spirit and the gift that the Father will then send as he leaves. You know, so that I think is, you know, is that stands out to me, is this whole idea of remaining in him, abiding in him.
I think one idea that comes out in my mind is this idea of calling and purpose. In fact, we didn't read it in this one, but a little later in chapter 15, verse 16, at the very end of this same group of teaching that Jesus is giving, he says, telling the disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit that will last.
Yeah.
And so I really see Jesus working to center them on who they are and what they're called to. And ultimately, they're called to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major point of emphasis for Jesus here, is that I chose you that you should go and bear fruit. Verse 16. Verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit.
Yeah.
So Jesus wants us as his people to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm. Did you note the reason why he wants them to be fruitful too?
Well, let's come back to that.
Okay.
But before we can be fruitful, in verse 4, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, mm-hmm. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you. So, God has called us. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. God is, the Father is glorified by it. But it's not going to happen if we don't remain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then... What's the purpose that you're seeing there? Why is it that he wants them?
Well, it there's that little phrase there, for my Father's glory.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what, coming back to root causes, coming back down to the very bottom, what is the real reason for any of this? It's always coming back to for my Father's glory.
Yeah.
It's always everything that Jesus is doing is always coming back to my Father's glory. That is the reason for all of this, which I need to remain in him, but I need to realize I am not the stump.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the stump.
Yeah.
I am merely the branch. And all of this is for the Father's glory, who does the pruning on this whole vine that we have going on.
Yeah. And there's a conversation to be had about, well, what is fruit?
Yeah.
And the scripture really uses this word fruit in at least a couple of ways.
Uh-huh.
One is to talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Love, joy, peace, patience,
so our character,
kindness, gentleness, self-control. And these are things that are happening in us. It's
mm-hmm.
it's God's character, our lives being transformed to look more and more like our Lord Jesus's.
Mm-hmm.
The other meaning of fruit is others coming into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually the context here in chapter 15, that Jesus chose these 11 so that they would go out and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in the context of the new commandment. In fact, he comes back to the new commandment here in chapter 15, love one another as I have loved you. And so that call for our lives to begin to be transformed, to look like Jesus, but also to get involved in his mission
mm-hmm.
of reconciliation, of helping other people come into the family of God and grow in their faith, both of those are fruit, mm-hmm. and Jesus wants both of those to happen, mm-hmm. so we have to remain in him.
Yeah. As we continue on in chapter 15 too, I think there's another idea of what that fruit is, and that is obedience. If you love me, you'll obey my commands, mm-hmm. right? And he goes on to talk about how that is fruit also.
Yes.
So I think there's that whole idea of me being obedient also. Obedient because of love, not an earning, but right. an effort to, again, become more like Jesus. And I must obey his commands if I want to be transformed into his likeness.
Yeah, and for those of you, if you didn't catch it, Jomel and Carlo had a great conversation from John chapter 10, where they talked about hearing the Good Shepherd's voice and obeying. Mm-hmm. And so if you want a deeper dive on obeying Jesus. Well, let's wrap up with this. The idea of remaining in Jesus or abiding in him, how do we do that when he is no longer physically present with us? And I think we've already been talking about it. It's staying connected, staying aware of his presence, seeking him out. I do think that purposely drawing near to him. Yes, we walk in the presence of God 24/7, or we have that invitation. But I do think it's important to draw near, to have those moments where we set aside time to check in, and give, just as with our significant others and our family members, we can be in their presence throughout the day, but it's still significant to draw near to them. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we're doing with this reading plan is learning how to draw near and to stay connected, to remain in Christ.
Yeah. And If I could, there's something about this vine that it's not spoken about here, but we have to understand, again, part of the context is that, and I think most of us have a good enough idea, even though I don't grow vines, I mean, I don't grow grapes, I don't make wine, but I've got a little bit of an idea on that. And one thing that is, it's obvious, but it's not said here, because I think it was quite obvious to them, is, and you mentioned that there's vines that are growing there, mm-hmm. but they're growing on something. Okay, there's something that is supporting the vines, because if you imagine the grapevine and it just spread across the ground, the fruit wouldn't be very good, right? Yeah. So it needs to be lifted up, it needs to allow the sunshine to hit that, and so there's this idea of the trellis that is there too. And I believe that we could possibly say that the trellis is some of the spiritual disciplines that the Lord has given us. He gave us these examples for Sabbath. Mm. I can have rest in Sabbath. Okay? He invites us into prayer. That's a spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. He invites us to read Scripture. That's a spiritual discipline. He calls us to be in community. We're not one branch on the vine. We're many branches on the vine, right? And so he calls us into community. That's a spiritual discipline. He calls us to serve. He calls us to witness to these. All of these are spiritual disciplines. And I can see that as that kind of hidden trellis that the Lord has provided, that as a branch lifts me up, allows fruit to grow and more fruit to grow that might rot if I were just growing along the ground. I don't know. I got to look into that a little bit more. Think about that a little bit more.
Well, the encouraging thing is that there is a vine dresser or a gardener, and mm-hmm. he does go out of his way to provide us with opportunities to grow. Well, speaking of a discipline, you mentioned prayer, mm-hmm. and our listener question this week actually touches on that. It's from John chapter 14. So I'm going to go ahead and read this question, and then we'll talk about it. In John 14, 12 through 14, Jesus says that anyone who believes in him will do the works he has been doing, even greater works, and that he will do whatever we ask in his name. But this person says, my experience doesn't seem to match those promises. How should we understand these verses? Is Jesus talking about miracles, gospel ministry, or something else? And why doesn't God always answer our prayers the way that we ask when we pray them in his name?
Hmm. That's a great question.
I think
maybe
so too.
Next week we can.
No. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it here. I think the first thing is context is always king.
Absolutely.
And so once again,
you touched on that at the beginning.
Yeah. Once again, if we could imagine the tone and what's happening here is that Jesus is leaving, but he's communicating to his disciples, "I'm leaving, but the show is not over." Mm-hmm. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, but also the coming of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he's communicating to them that everything that you've seen God doing in and through my life and ministry is going to continue and even grow. I think that's the greater works.
Yeah.
The greater works are the works that Jesus had been doing as a single minister of the gospel was now going to be multiplied by his disciples.
Absolutely.
And by the coming of the Holy Spirit.
And here we are today. That greater works than what Jesus when he walked on the earth did.
Some people have said that, you know, if you look at Jesus' ministry simply through a human lens, you would say that at the time of his death, he was a failure. I mean, most of his followers had left him. He had a small ragtag band of people that were still hanging in there with him. And yes, if you look at the church today, you know, well over 2 billion people worldwide, 3 billion people profess faith in Christ. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think we need to understand what does that mean in my name?
Yes. Yeah,
right? You know, and I think that what we have to understand is that it's in the context of what Jesus' mission is.
Yes.
Why did he come? What was his mission? And I will then, I will answer all of your prayers when they are in that context of what my mission is. Because even my prayer will, at this point, he's thinking ahead, even my prayer will not be answered to what, when I say, hey, please take this cup away from me.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
What?
Yeah, sometimes we can pray in Jesus' name, and I do this, we can pray almost like, you know, when you're on a walkie-talkie and you say over and out.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes when we finish our prayers with in Jesus' name, amen, it's just our mindless way of saying, I'm done with this prayer. But really, what I would encourage our listeners to consider is that praying in the name of Jesus is so powerful. It's as if you're working for a company that has deep pockets and they give you a company credit card. And they tell you, you have this card and you are already greenlit for expenses that are going to be in the interest of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is in Jesus' name. So when I'm praying, Jesus is inviting his disciples to pray in his name, to pray for those things that fit in mm-hmm. his plan and purpose, mm-hmm. which is amazing that he not only calls us into his mission, but he gives us this invitation to pray with confidence when we're asking for things that are in line with his name, mm-hmm. in the interest of the kingdom and what he's trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so it's not carte blanche that you can pray anything. Just like if I had that company credit card, you know, I couldn't just go out and buy a hot tub for my home.
Right.
I'd be in big trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, that charge would get declined. So in the same way, sometimes I pray for things, and we don't always know, Lord, is this in your will or not? Mm-hmm. And so we pray with humility. Oftentimes I will pray for things that I think are good things, mm-hmm. but I want to pray as Jesus did in the garden.
Yeah.
Lord, here's what I would like to see happen.
But your will be done.
And sometimes the hardest examples of this are with people that we love. And we pray, we know what we think would be good for them, and yet God sometimes has to take people that we love through difficult circumstances. Sometimes he has to take us through difficult circumstances to accomplish his purposes. Well, I think we're a little over time, but I'll give you the last word. Any last thing that you want to share on this or today?
No, not really. I think we covered that. I think we covered that. We covered that well.
I love that question. Yeah. You know, chances are, if you have a question like that, many other people do.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I would encourage you to, if you have a question, leave it as a comment under the YouTube video. We see those and we'll answer those on a future episode. Or you can email me, Andrew@paseodelrey.org.
Yeah, I guess I would just say one other thing, and that is that in that prayer, I most often pray, Lord, I want whatever your will is in this. But I know you also asked me to ask for things boldly. And yeah. So in that, here's boldly what I'm asking. I'm asking for this person to be healed, Lord, because you tell us to pray for that. And so I'm going to pray for that, Lord, but in your timing, in your will, however you want that to be done. So that kind of that combination of saying, okay, well, I will be bold because Lord says, be bold, you know, knock on the door, keep pounding on it,
yep.
You know? And so, okay, well, I'll do that. But Lord, only in that ultimately I desire your glory for your will to be done. Amen.
Amen. Well, Paseo, thanks for being on this journey with us. We will be back next week with another podcast episode. Until then, keep following Jesus.